Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
We're back. It's the Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are all doing very, very well. Before we get into all of the transfer madness happening at the moment, a thank you to our newest patron over at Patreon, Ben Umberger. Ben, thank you for your support. And of course, thank you to all of our other wonderful patrons. If you would like to join the madhouse, patreon.com/RomaPress, at IS Roma Press on social media, YouTube, like, subscribe. You get tired of hearing all of those things. I know it goes in one ear and out the other when every single podcast or video creator you watch says that. But please, if you could like and subscribe, we would greatly, greatly appreciate it. All right. So, Andy, the 30th of June, come and gone. That magical date is now behind us. So this is when the fun begins. And I say fun in jest, of course. So Roma, with the sale of Tammy Abraham to Besiktas, they were able, for the most part, to fulfill their financial fair play obligations. If you ask to them, because reports have been going around today that they are going to get a small fine. Actually,
$4 million.
Yes, that is what Roma is saying. Nobody has that as an exclusive. Roma is relaying that to every single person who asks. They expect to receive a very small fine, but they do not expect any other punitive measures beyond that. So as we remember when Roma were limited by the number of players they were able to have in the squad for the Europa League some years ago, that is not going to be the case. They expect to receive just a small fine because, for the most part, they did fulfill their financial fair play obligations. Before getting into this shopping list or wish list of what they need, who we think they should get, who we think they should target, can we just do a very, very brief post-mortem on the tenure of Tammy Abraham at Roma?
Yeah.
And it's very odd because if you want to go back in time a few years ago, I cannot forget how elated people were to get this guy. And Roma, if you remember, Andy, they made a tremendous effort trying to get him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this was just a couple of months after Jose Mourinho was appointed.
And just a few days after Edin Dzeko up and left.
Yes. Yes, so when he did that, when he did that, oh, I'm here to stay, oh, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And this was the first summer of Jose Mourinho. And
Thiago Pinto closed that deal in like 5 days.
I know. Yes.
Went to London, came back with Tammy.
Yes, he went to London, as some of you may know. Well, many of you may not know this. Roma, they have an office in London, in the Mayfair district, actually not too far away from Buckingham Palace, by the way. So you can kill two birds with one stone. Although if you go by this office building, it is the most innocuous, most bland. I don't know, man. Tap on the door and say hello. I think there's only two or three people that work there full time. But beyond that, very small presence of Roma in London. But nonetheless, they still have that office. So that deal was closed very quickly, as you said. If you want to talk about a guy who was a mixed bag, he is the embodiment.
He's the embodiment because that guy goes from, I mean, the way he is, he's remembered is in equal measure for being the guy who, I guess surprised us all, or, you know, was a very positive force in the first season, was a crucial player for us, you know, when it came down to Roma competing in the Conference League, he was right there and he helped us to that trophy. A lot of it went through his own sacrifices. I mean, yes. He was so fast in that first season. He was so fast, so smooth, which is unbelievable when you think about it, talking about Tammy Abraham. Remember, the first times he was on the pitch, he would do these magical things. with his legs, you know, with his feet, and you'd be like, "Wow, where is this guy coming from?" You know, yes. I didn't know that he had it in him. Then obviously, you know, he raises that Conference League trophy, and after that, I think, I mean, it basically went, yeah, it crashed and burned. It was meme galore, Mrs. Galore, and then an ACL to wrap things up. After the ACL, it was like even having him on the pitch was even more detrimental. Then obviously that loan at Milan, scores against Roma, obviously. And that's about it. So yeah, talk about a mixed bag. That is the definition of a mixed bag.
Well, let's not forget too, when he tore his ACL, final match of the season against Spezia. Yeah. In a match that had zero consequence. It meant nothing.
Nothing.
And of course, the poor guy, he does his anterior cruciate ligament. Crazy. And
is out for like 9 months.
Yes. And he finds it very difficult getting back into the team, and even more difficult finding the back of the net. Somebody in our chat, a couple people alluded to this about, obviously, the arrival of Paulo Dybala changed the way Tammy had to play. I understand that and agree with it to a small extent. Obviously,
remember when people were thinking that him, Zaniolo, and Dybala were going to force to be reckoned with. After 6 months, Zaniolo was gone. Tammy was not scoring. And Dybala was injured.
Well, there's no doubting in that first season, he was, in terms of the focal point of the attack, he was the man. It was, things are running through him. They're running through, as you said, Nicolò Zaniolo. When Paulo Dybala arrives, obviously the dynamics change. The thing I do find somewhat curious, him and Lorenzo Pellegrini in that 2021-2022 season, fantastic, incredible. And then it just completely falls off a cliff for the both of them.
Yeah.
Ever since then. Yeah. And I wonder if there is something in there, or if perhaps, again, that is simply coincidental. Mm-hmm. But I just find it interesting that ever since that 2021-2022 season, I mean, Andy, neither of those guys has been even remotely close to the level that they were at in that season. I mean, remember Jose Mourinho in that season. We're talking about Tammy Abraham going for 80 million the next summer. We're talking about Pellegrini. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
Are we going to be able to re-sign him? Is he going to sign a new contract? I'll never forget Jose Mourinho in his first couple of weeks at the club, in his first official matches. He's already being asked about Pellegrini and his new contract, and he's saying, "Oh well, I hope he signs that new
deal." And now look at them. Now look at them. You know, Tammy is there. Tammy goes away, Turkey, and his departure is crucial for our financial fair play compliance. And Lorenzo Pellegrini is injured, and with only 1 year left on his contract, then nobody knows what's going to happen next. So, it shows that a certain era has come to an end. It's inevitable. Mm. Like, that's why, you know, we are looking at this squad and with this date in mind, the 30th of June, so many names came up in Roma. You know, there was talk even of Brian Cristante moving to Como again. Now there is talk of, you know, Stefan El Shaarawy not having his place confirmed ahead of next season, even though he had his contract renewed recently. Pellegrini, who again is a big question mark, huge question mark.
Opinion. Yes.
There's just clear signs that, you know, that Roma are moving on. Whether some like it or not, they're moving on. Some important decisions will be taken this summer. When you look at how Roma handled this financial fair play situation, for a moment it looked like they were going to sell a whole bunch of young players just to avoid selling anyone else in the form of Evandica, Angelino, who are still here. There was talk of Cherubini, Pagano, Terlizzi, Romano, all going. At the end of the day, I don't think any single one of them has completed the transfer that they were rumored to be in for. Maybe Pagano is going to move to Bari. But aside from that, Roma managed to do what a lot of fans didn't think they were going to be able to do, which is keep Angelino and Van Dijk beyond the 30th. Now, whether these two stay or not, I don't know. But it's, you know, it's been a long time. Well, Friedkin's moved in 2020. So since then, I don't really recall many situations where Roma have been forced to sell some of their key players. And, you know, if we talk about Angelino and Van Dijk, that would have been a first time in the Friedkin's tenure of Roma actually selling guys that belong to the starting lineup just for the sake of financial fair play. This time around, again, another year, a consecutive year, it did not happen. Roma were able to meet the parameters by offloading Enzo Lefe, Nicola Zaleski, Samuel Dal, Tammy Abraham, and so on.
Yeah, I don't think that they... this is nothing new to them, so I don't think they're ever taken by surprise in this regard. Now, you can see, we can debate whether or not that is a good thing or not. But again, Roma, the Friedkins, they can only do on the market. It everything has to do with what they bring in. We can go down the laundry list of things that need to change in terms of Roma's revenue. Obviously, the stadium being at the very top of the list as to how things could change for the club. But this is not their first rodeo, so to speak. So I think the Friedkins have done a pretty admirable job each summer. I mean, have we ever found ourselves in a summer where, as you said, we have sold a big name and you have outrage amongst the supporters? Because I can't really think of one. If we want to go down some of the big names that have left, they have all been for reasons other than having to sell because of financial fair play. I mean,
yeah, Jacko, absolutely.
The guy has to leave.
Nemanja Matić. Nemanja Matić.
Yes. So of all of the big, so to speak, that have left during the era of Friedkin, most of it, if not all of them, have been down to personal reasons. So I have nothing but respect for the way they have handled this. And as you said, Angelino's still here. I think there's a very good chance he leaves.
Indica, oh, yeah? You don't think you're going to give him a shot in pre-season?
Well, I still think the possibility or the temptation of a big plus Valenza for the guy. I mean, again,
okay. Makes sense.
Roma were gift wrapped Angelino. I mean,
you bought him for five. You were potentially selling him for 25. You know,
correct,
so.
Correct. Now, Indica, I just think he's too crucial to the team. I think Gasparini would be pissed if that guy left. So I don't think that is going to happen. But we can get into some of the other names that are being rumored as being close. But for you, what is the area that is most needed to upgrade? Is it the flanks?
Oh yeah, it has to be. I mean, at the end of the day, that's where the bulk of Gasperini's work, you know, is focused on. That's where he is cooking his potion. That is where it all begins. Gosh. Those are the first steps in his magic recipe. The flanks, you have to have guys who are not only fast, they're not only strong, but they're scoring, they have a propensity to move towards the opponent's goal. I mean, it's about players who, like Gosens, like Kolasinac in recent years, are not afraid to push, and whose role is not just staying on the wing and crossing the ball. It's basically doing everything. I mean, I told you this the last time out. It's basically what Kolarov did for Roma in his best year. You know, that's Kolarov back then was doing everything. And wingers and fullbacks in Gasperini's system, that's it. Then you have to have a midfielder who's also not afraid to score the ball, because God knows Roma need one. If you look at some of the misses that Roma have had from midfielders this season, Kone, the goals he could have scored, Tommaso Baldanzi, the goals he could have scored, Nicolò Pisilli, the goals he could have scored. so many opportunities, and yet I think the midfielder with most goals was probably Paredes with penalties. So
yes,
that's no good. And that has to change, because we know that that is also something that Gasperini likes very much. It's guys that get on the score sheet, not necessarily attackers.
No, that's true. How you made it through that entire thing, saying Potion twice and not mentioning a certain Danish professor is astonishing to me. But again, we have to put a moratorium on any and all Jan's bank ball references, because between...
He's no longer employed in football, so...
No, he's not, but still, in fact, he doesn't work in football whatsoever. However, I could see him coming out of retirement at the prospect of, you know, what can my Potion do with AS Roma? What I did it with this random Serie B side, for all intents and purposes, in Bergamo. What I could do with this team in the Italian capital. I don't want to go there. That's not even mentioning. I mean, he could easily sue us at this point. I mean, the 3 to 4 dozen different episodes where we're making fun of him or mentioning him at this point. But again, I applaud you for being able to get through that last phrase without even mentioning his name. One name that Roma have been linked with seemingly since the beginning of the summer. I mean, if you want to talk about like the day one target, it's Wesley of Flamengo. And this is one of those deals, because there has been talk over the previous 48 hours about how Everton would acquire him and then loan him to Roma. This is one of those things where I said it on the many, many Everton podcasts I went on when the freaking group officially acquired Everton. And I was asked every single time, are AS Roma supporters worried about the freaking group making Everton a priority over Roma? And each time I said no, because I think Roma will be able to benefit with the vastly superior financial resources that they are going to earn from Everton than what they're able to get in Serie A with Roma. And I think this is like this is exhibit A. This is it. I don't know, Andy, if we're going to see something how we have, you know, Udinese and Watford, where they're basically trading garbage back and forth.
True.
I don't think we're going to see that.
I want to be a little bit more ambitious. I would hope.
Obviously, they are going to do some things. There's going to be some sort of cohesion between the two clubs. We see them playing a summer friendly later this month, or is it August? I think it's July. So
is it July? Okay.
Yeah. So there is going to be some sort of, you know, understanding between the two clubs. And again, it's a Premier League side. It's a very renowned Premier League side, who again, it are going to have pockets, Andy, that Roma, in their wildest dream, could never attain. It's something that you have to take advantage of. And again, I think the Friedkins owning Everton is only going to benefit Roma. I in no way think that they're going to shift resources or that their focus is going to be on Everton more so than Roma. I think Roma will only benefit.
Wesley is the first step in this... in this synergy between the club for years.
Well, yeah, I mean, we were just talking about Roman financial fair play, and this is an operation that could be upwards of 30 million euros. So
yeah,
you tell
absolutely.
Me. And if you want to talk about like the profile for football of Gianpiero Gasperini, this guy is that. He is that and more. Again, I'm going to refrain from any Bangsbo jokes or references tied to him, but I mean, the way he plays his game, it fits perfectly. And again, you just alluded to it prior to this. I mean, this is where you have to give Gasperini everything he asks for.
Yeah, the flanks have to be like the guy in the Gasperini asks for that guy, you get that guy. Like, It cannot be, you know, like you cannot mess around here because it's just too important. It's like this is why you got him, because this is what he does. You have to give him the players that he believes in. even I don't care if it's a, you know, if it's a 17-year-old from Uzbekistan or Kyrgyzstan, he likes him, get him. And he's going to turn him into, I don't know, Russell Crowe in Gladiator, you know? I mean, we have to trust the process, John. I know you hate that phrase, but we have to trust the process. This thing with Everton is so funny to me. I think a lot of people sort of are afraid when this when these news break out, when this news broke out, a lot of people are like, is that legal? Like, can they do that? Will we, you know, will we get banned? Will we get arrested by UEFA? I mean, listen, it was always going, I think, come this is the way that clubs will have to survive, you know, like a club like Roma.
Yes.
Wants to be competitive, they have to survive. It's, you know, I mean, this is what we, the situation that we've been driven into, and we have to somehow get out of it. Everton, probably just off of TV rights, they earn more than Roma earned from TV rights in the last decade. So
yes,
that's what you're looking into in a big brother like Everton.
Yeah, and listen. Two things can be true at once where you kind of have a bit of an inferiority complex, kind of like what you said there, sort of being the little brother. But again, there's dynamics that no matter how much we want to complain about it, there's certain financial dynamics that just can't happen in this country when compared to a club in the UK playing in the Premier League. No matter what you feel about which club is better, more successful, more ambitious, whatever your argument is, this is the fact of the matter that Everton have financial resources that Roma will never, at least for foreseeable future, will be able to attain. So you have to take advantage of it. Other guys that they've been linked with, I mean, we're not going to go down the entire list because, again, it's the transfer market. There's 25 new names every single day, and it really is not worth getting into each of them individually. I will say, though, as far as some of the potential outgoing names, Paredes.
That's a very funny situation. Yeah, I don't understand. I don't know what's going on. I'm so tired of things. Like, this is what I hate. Like, you know, like if people say, oh, but the transfer market is exciting. Yeah, sometimes it's exciting. You know, you have funny developments. But then you have these sagas that are just endless. They go on forever. And you are exhausted. By the time you're like, please take him away. Do anything. Yes. But just, I don't want to see that name. I don't want to see that team's name. I don't want anything to do with this situation. Every year, there's always something like, you know, like something that gets dragged out beyond belief. And then, first of all, every media outlet seems to, at first, they all seem to know what's going to happen. Everybody's like, oh, 30th of June, Boca Juniors will activate Leandro Paredes' release clause. The player has already agreed to a contract with Boca. So the only thing to do is for them is to pay 3.5 million, which, by the way, was the release clause that was in the gentleman's agreement with Boca to facilitate the guy's transfer, right? Like, that's what Roma did. They extended his contract, included a release clause that was exclusively valid for Boca Junior. Guess what happens? Boca don't pay the release clause. It's past June 30th. It's the 3rd of July as we are recording this. And Boca will have to renegotiate the fee with Roma. What's the point? I don't know. The player's still here. Preseason starts in 10 days from now. So I don't know who should get their shit together. But, you know, just if you want to leave the club, leave. That's it. Don't drag this out, please.
Yeah, it is annoying to see this thing still lingering on. Again, especially considering the guy was giving interviews about going back to Boca since last November. So for us to be here some 10 months later, still having to entertain this entire saga. Extremely annoying. Extremely annoying. Some of the other guys that appear to be at least on their way out, King Eldor, who, again, mixed bag. What can you say? I'm going to hold him in a much higher regard because of this last season, Andy. My my opinion of that guy shifted so much.
Yeah, an absolute hero.
Yes. Doesn't complain. Doesn't say a thing about not starting. But man, was he a force off the bench. And I don't think I ever, prior to right now, ever foresaw a point where I thought, oh, losing Shomurodov is actually going to be a bitter pill to swallow, so to speak, because just of how effective he was this past season off the bench. I mean, that was productivity from the substitutes that we are not used to at Roma, particularly from a striker. And to have somebody finally do that and then have to say goodbye to him, it is difficult to some degree to accept, because you're going to have to replace him. I mean, they're going to have to get a backup striker to work behind Dovbyk. So I am a bit sad to see him go, just because, again, this past season, it was such an outlier when compared to his previous ones. He was, I mean, able to make such a big impact. Is there anybody else from your mind that needs to perhaps be given another chance or at least another look? Everybody keeps talking about Kumbula. There were a few people shouting for Mario Hermoso. That's not going to happen. Roma, they will try to cash in on that guy immediately. But his wages, they are large. So getting rid of that is going to be difficult. Kumbula, where do you come out on him? I have a whole conversation with his agent that he wanted me to stay on here, but I'm not going to say it because it basically, it is level of propaganda that I think even North Korea would be kind of like, maybe that's a bit much, man. So I'm not going to say really any of this beyond the fact that he does his preferences to first see what Gasparini has to say and take his chances with him and see what happens, because his agent adamant that he could be a big contributor, and he put this in caps, perhaps even a first choice regularly under Gasparini.
I mean, he thrived under Ivan Juric, who is Gasparini's apostle. So this is who we're talking about, you know. Kumbula, after this kind of season he's had with Espanyol, I'm sure that going to have 100% confidence that he can do something in preseason. Sure. Whether that will be enough to stay at Roma and potentially start is a whole other thing. But definitely, I think this is not a player that Roma will give out right away. I think he will receive some kind of opportunity. Just because, I mean, listen, we need another defender. There's a lot of areas that we need to focus on. And perhaps we need to save up. Perhaps yes. We need to make some sacrifices and decide, okay, listen, we have an in-house solution. Let's make this happen. Kumbula was really impressive with Espanyol. I don't see why Gasparini would fire him from the squad as soon as preseason starts. I don't see that happening.
No, I don't either. This guy somehow, for those of you who they feel as if he has been at Roma for nearly a decade now. He still has 2 years left on his contract with the club.
Yeah, didn't he join 2021? 20?
Yes.
Or 21?
Yes, and I will never forget that one, because I put out an interview with his agent who said, Roma haven't contacted us. There hasn't been any interest from the Giallorossi. And then literally 2 hours later,
right,
the deal was completed. I will never forget that one ever. Gianni Vitali, fantastic.
And he was that was when Guido Fienga was running our the summer of 2020, and when he came, Kumbula was one of the best prospects in the league. So
he
it
was.
Really felt like we had won the lottery. Didn't happen for him, but again, who knows? When you go out on loan and you play with the kind of consistency that Kumbula played with in La Liga after that ACL and that brutal loan at Sassuolo, your confidence is bound to go through the roof. So I don't know. I think Gasparini may be open to that. That's
he's still 25 years old. I mean, he seems like one of those guys that is 30 or 31 because of how much he has been at the forefront of our minds, how long it seems like we have seen him play. still only 25. I would give him a shot. As you said, if you can make him a viable part of the rotation, he doesn't even have to start. He doesn't have to start. Let's be serious. If he could be an alternate, I mean, the first choice of central defender off the bench, I mean, you could do far worse than him. So it has always seemed like, though, the pressure and the expectation of Roma has always been the thing that has been difficult for him. Physically, he's been all over the place. We saw him, well, I say we, you have to be especially sick to have watched him at Sassuolo. I mean, he was a nightmare at Sassuolo, a nightmare.
Single-handedly sent him to Serie B, yeah. Which I will be forever grateful for, though it didn't last.
No, it didn't last too long, but to see him bounce back this last season, there is something there, and it's the thing that we all saw when he was at Verona. All right, let's leave it there. We'll be back again in a few days. Plenty of transfer stuff that happening every single day. So what happens over the next week, we will, of course, break down, and we will see what happens in the coming days. So until next time, everyone, a presto.
A presto.